We're going to be in lesson number 14. It's hard to believe that this little tiny epistle called 1 John, that we would have 14 different lessons in. It's only five chapters, and yet here we are in lesson 14, and we've still got a couple to go. And so today we're going to be talking about evidence that demands a verdict. And yes, I stole that from Josh McDowell. He wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. That's where I got it from. But it's so neat because here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 or 6 rather, through 13, we see some evidence. So John is going to lay out some evidence for us. So I've used the illustration of being a witness several times over the last few weeks. The last time I used it, I said, what if the only evidence for supporting you being a Christian was how much you loved one another, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How many of you found that very convicting? I did. All right. So we've talked a lot about witnesses and the importance of our witness and being able to validate our Christian faith as an act of our witness and truly knowing Christ. But today we're going to take a look at three witnesses, if you will, that John lays out for us in this section of Scripture. Right. So John points to three witnesses that provide ample evidence to support the claims of Christianity. So John is giving these things to us because he wants us to have a faith that is grounded. Our faith is not weak. Our faith is not based on nothing. Our faith is grounded in something. And he's going to provide for us three witnesses, right? They are the eyewitnesses, the internal witness, and the eternal witness. Those are the three. So in your breakout group lesson, hopefully you've already done that. If you haven't, you're going to discover that the first two are hit there, eyewitnesses and the internal witness, all right? So those will be covered in your breakout group. So just think for a minute about those two before we get into the focus for our study here. Think about those two witnesses, the eyewitnesses. Now, why would those eyewitnesses really be so important? It's because they were right there when Jesus performed his miracles. They heard Jesus teach. They saw him interact. If they saw that Jesus was a phony or that maybe one of the other disciples was publishing something that wasn't true, don't you think that they would have said, sorry guys, that never happened. But instead, they all wrote these accounts inspired by the Holy Spirit. And although they're looked at from a little different angle, they all say the same thing. Right, that Jesus was God, that Jesus was a miracle worker, that he had a grasp of the Scripture that was unlike anybody ever had. So we see the eyewitnesses. Those were the disciples, the apostles. And then, of course, we have the internal witness, which Andy referenced before I began. All right, so, of course, that is that the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, that we truly are followers of Jesus. All right. So you're going to get into those in your study tonight. But in this study, we're going to examine the eternal witness, the eternal witness. And our focus is not going to be in all of our text, but we're only going to focus on three verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. So our focus begins with, it is a written record. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. John says, and this is the testimony, or your translation may say record. This is the testimony that God has given to us, or unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So this is a written record. So it's a matter of not speculation, but rather revelation. This isn't up for debate. This is God has revealed this truth to us. He says, this is the testimony. God has given to us eternal life. Notice it's a gift. He's given it to us. We haven't earned it. That's so important for us. So often, I don't know about you, but I run into people that they're always on half full when it comes to the assurance of salvation, and it's in the half-less full part is where they're falling short. All right, God's doing his part, but I'm not doing mine, so I'm not sure that I'm wholly there. No, it's all in God's hands. Amen? God has given to us eternal life. So it is a written record, not up for speculation. It is truly divine revelation. Now, one of our core values at Hope Community Church is authority. We believe in authority. All right? Today, people are bucking authority. But we believe in authority, and we believe that the Bible is our ultimate authority. And the way we describe it is that the Bible is relevant in every situation. In other words, there's not any area of your life or my life where the Bible doesn't have something to say. There's nowhere in your life or in my life where we can say, okay, I need some help with this area, but God doesn't offer it in His Word. He gives us general information about everything in this world, right? So it's not simply a verbal agreement that God gives. It's something more than that. How many of you enjoy watching the court TV shows, whether it's Judge Judy or... I'm not going to call you up and okay, there's one. All right. So, I enjoy watching those, but it's crazy because the judge, they typically make, most of those who are before their court look like complete morons, don't they? It's just like, okay, so tell me about this situation. Well, he said that he would sell me this car and he said he would sell it for $500 and I could give him, $2 and a breadstick once a week for the next however long and I could get it paid off. Okay, do you, can I see the contract? Can I see, no, it was just verbal. Okay, well, you're toast. If there's nothing written down, if there's no contract, if there's nothing that I can use to validate this agreement between the two of you, then there's really nothing that I can do for you. Well, the Bible says that the agreement that God has made with us it's not just a verbal contract, it's a written contract. Let me see the contract. Well, here it is. We just read it. Here's the record. Here's the testimony. God has given to us eternal life. He's given it to us. This is God's word written to us. It's going to stand the test of time, right? So, is it a valid document? Yes, it is. It's a valued document. It's trustworthy. Trusting His word is much better than trusting our feelings. Amen? Now, I know we love to go off our feelings because we have to do lots of stuff that we probably shouldn't do when we do. But it's so much better when we just go by God's word. God said it, I believe it. Amen. All right, so number two, it is a descriptive record. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The record is that there are some people who have eternal life and there are others who do not. Now think about this with me for a moment. The world is divided in a number of ways, and I've used so many illustrations in trying to drive this point home. We divide ourselves because it's human nature, but there's a lot of other people that are seeking to divide us too. I trust that you know that. Like politically, people are trying to divide us. They're like, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Like news programs are trying to divide us. So here's the right way to think. Here's the right causes. Here's the right agenda. And if you don't believe that, you're a buffoon. You're a moron. There's something wrong with you. Well, there's lots and lots of divisions. There's divisions based upon our age. There's divisions based upon our gender, and by the way, there's only two of them. In the beginning, God made them male and female. Male and female made He them. There's only two. I know that there are some people who obviously are confused, and I'm certainly not trying to downplay, the seriousness of someone who struggles with that. But there are so many ways in which we divide ourselves: race, age, status, politics, the language that we speak, the health that we have or don't have, our educational level. But listen, my friends, the scripture says that there are only two real classes of people when it comes to God: those who are saved and those who are not. Now, I want you to think for a minute, my friends. What would happen if that was the very top, most important way that you saw everybody that you're going to run into tomorrow? They're either saved and on their way to heaven, or they're lost and on their way to hell. See, this is God's record. This isn't just, amen, we're saved, verse 11. This is, oh, by the way, there's another group of people that we should be concerned for. They're our friends, our neighbor, our family that may be good people, but they're not saved people. So we see this is a descriptive record. Number three, it is a valid record. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It is a valid record. In other words, it is trustworthy because He is. Not because you are, not because I am. It's trustworthy because He is trustworthy. We can believe it. We can trust in it, right? So we can have this valid record and we can hold on to it, and we know that we're never going to lose it. Many, many years ago, I lost something very important to me, my ordination papers. Whenever you get ordained into the ministry, you actually get ordination papers, and mine got, let's just say, lost. And I didn't have validation, if you will, of my ordination into the ministry, which really meant that if I couldn't produce that really the court could say, hey, you don't have the right to marry someone. You don't have the right to do some other things. So there's some things that require validity to them. And God says that we have a valid record, that God has given unto us eternal life, and that these things that God has given to us are written so we can know it's valid. Here's the contract, if you will, that God has made, or rather, the covenant. All right, so let's think about this for a minute. All right, so the word that God has given to us is really the eternal record. It's the eternal record. The word we stand on, give you three things. Number one is ageless. The word we stand on is ageless. Psalm chapter 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your salvation is not going to be up for debate next year, no matter who's in office or who's not. It's forever set. It's ageless. The word is eternal and unending. God is not going to change his mind. It's forever settled in a place where even revisionists can't get to. Isn't it crazy today they're revising history? Seriously. Seriously, revising history. All right, so it's ageless. Number two, it's boundless. It's boundless. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Paul says to Timothy, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. It's not bound. There are so many restrictions today. What's the number one reason for the restrictions that we see today? Help me. Starts with a C. Ends with 19. COVID-19. So many restrictions. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like the people that are in control, just, they're not going to let go of that control. No, you can't go visit your grandmother in the nursing room. You just got to stare at her through the window. No, you can't be together with more than six people in your family, and you can't have a Super Bowl party, and you can't do this and you can't do that. Just restrictions everywhere. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, when is enough going to be enough? Restrictions everywhere. You can't go to the movies. Or if you can go to the movies, you can't eat popcorn. What's the sense of going to the movie house if you can't eat popcorn? Wow. All of this stuff, right? But think of this for a moment. Where is Paul when he's writing 2 Timothy? He's in prison. He's in prison, and yet he says, hey, I want you to know that I'm where I'm at. I'm in these chains because it's God's will for my life. But I want you to know something. The word of God is not chained. The word is not chained. The word is still going to go forth. And so basically what Paul is saying in this last epistle that he will ever write before he's beheaded, most say by Nero, excuse me. He's writing this and he's saying to Timothy, basically, listen, hey, there's something far more important than worrying about your reputation. There's something far more important than worrying about if people like you. People need something more than your charisma. They need something more than your jokes, more than what you have to offer. They need the eternal word of God that is never bound. Now think of this with me for a moment. You and I have the privilege of owning a copy of God's word. Some of us have multiple copies of God's word. Amen? I mean, we've got ones that we've worn out, and now we sit them on a shelf because we don't want to throw them away, because it's a reminder of all the time we've spent in God's Word, with the Lord, with God's people. Do you know that there are some people that are in this world that the only words of God they have are the ones they've memorized? Let that settle in for a minute. How much do we take for granted the Word of God that we have? The Word of God that is not bound. The Word of God that can go beyond communist walls, Muslim walls, atheistic walls, agnostic walls. God's Word is not bound. The Word that says that we are saved and know it is ageless. It is boundless, my friends. You and I can cling to it. Some believers have only the words they've memorized, and yet those words are shared and they transform and change people's lives. Third and last, the Word is changeless. Changeless, that is, it's enduring. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, here it is, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifest his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So think of this for a moment. It is not enough to say that God does not lie. It is much more appropriate to say that God cannot lie. Amen? So if God has given us the promise of eternal life, the God who cannot lie, the God who does not lie, we can trust it. Amen? We can trust it. People change their wills like they change their shoes based upon the behavior of people that are the recipients of their goodness. Amen? But no matter what you do or no matter what I do, I'm saved. You're saved. Why? Because God's word is changeless. The word we stand on is God Himself. Now, we like to give people things that help them. And I trust that there are many of you who do that. I hear every now and then, even going through the church, you know, someone who will recommend a product to somebody else. Maybe it's for, you know, for dry and chafed hands. And Lord knows we need that in season like this. You know, maybe it's, you know, essential oil, or maybe it's, you know, just a remedy of some kind for something. And those things are all valid, and they're all really, really important. But I want you to know, my friends, that there's one thing that we can give everybody, that's more important than all of those things combined. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God, my friends. Through it, God reveals Himself and His great love for us and for others. So as I close, God Himself is the eternal witness that shines a beacon of light that lifts the darkness and removes our doubt. Let me pray for us. God in heaven, I pray for everybody listening to the sound of my voice. I pray for those who have struggled with grasping eternal security and belief that God alone saves and keeps. I pray, God, that you will give sweet assurance. That, Lord, through this lesson, through the lesson that we're about to go through in our breakout groups, that, God, you will just cement the truth that, God, you have revealed yourself through eyewitnesses, through the internal witness, through the eternal witness. And God, we can trust and believe that there is substantial evidence enough to support a verdict of yes, God saves. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.